You know what I drives me nuts, things driving me nuts, is things that are just not fair. You know, things that are not fair. Have you ever been driving down 101 or the freeway and there's a merge that has to happen? And so you get over because you're supposed to merge because there's a lane that's closed, and there's somebody that's driving up on the right side, you know, all the way to the very last minute, and they won't wait in line. I don't know what that does to you, but it's because I think, that's what? It's not fair. It's just not fair. You know, that's not fair. You know, people that cut in line, or when there's like all of a sudden somebody gets off for doing something that they really should be punished more for, and you want to say what? No. It's not fair. It's just really not fair. And Lisa and I just finished watching kind of a series on this woman named Amanda Riley. I don't know if you saw it. The series is called Scamanda. And it's an interesting thing to have this young woman, very perky, very, very pretty, very full of life and all of that, who had cancer. And as she began to share her story, she actually got connected with a very large church in San Jose and was up front, oftentimes sharing about her story for cancer. And the people were so moved by this that they would actually come and put money on the stage for her to help her pay for all the treatments. And the reality is what? If you've seen the series, you've seen what? She didn't have cancer at all, you know, not at all. And she's sharing this beautiful testimony of how God has delivered her from cancer, and then it's now in remission, and then it came back, and so they gave her more money and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you want to say what? That's not fair, you know, that's not fair. And then I made the remark to Lisa, because she gave her clear testimony of faith, even in the midst of all these lies, I said, you know, we may see her in heaven. And you want to say what? That's not fair, you know. That's not fair. Today we're going to talk a little bit about things that aren't fair. People cutting in line, people getting a lot of good when they deserve nothing but bad. We're going to talk about the bad guy getting all the good that could possibly be happening, and we're going to want to say no fair. But at the end, I want us to always to be able to say together, I'm so glad for no fair. I'm so glad for no fair. Let's take a second to pray, can we? So, God, I thank you for these moments that we have and this time that we have together, and I thank you for grace, Lord, that you love us so much. And give me the words right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in this year, we're calling the year Thrive, you know, Thrive, and it's big and bold and nice, pretty colors and all that kind of stuff. And it's a good word, because I honestly have come to the conclusion, I don't think I enjoy life enough. I don't think I've enjoyed the life that God has given me enough. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. Or another word would be have it abundantly. And when I ask people, do you really feel like you're having abundant life? They say, no. I said, well, if Jesus came and said, I'm giving this to you, why don't we have it? And I think it's a lot of times because we don't really understand everything that he is doing for us, and we're not experiencing the goodness of God maybe in the day-to-day life and in every moment that he would have for us on that one. Abundant life sounds pretty good to me, and Jesus comes and gives that to us. And to kind of build up to Easter, because Easter's coming, I know I got my first shipment of gag peeps. I hate peeps, you know, and somebody gave me peeps. I get peeps every year, and so they start to decorate my office with all these packages of peeps. We're, to build that up, we're talking about what I will call words of hope. Words of hope. And on the cross, Jesus spoke seven times. Seven times Jesus made a statement, and they're sometimes called the seven last words of Jesus, but they're not the seven last, because he spoke, obviously, again after his resurrection. But here they are. These are the seven last words of Jesus on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He said, truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son. And then he would say to John, behold your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? He said, I thirst. He said, it is finished. And lastly, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, as you notice, they're not like long, drawn-out statements that he makes. It's pretty hard to say a lot of things when you're dying on a cross, okay? He'd just been beaten and whipped and scourged and mocked and smacked around and then had to carry a crossbeam the size of a railroad tie up a hill. And it's really hard to speak when you're able to bring on the cross, when you're able to breathe in air but unable to exhale it. And slowly your lungs are filling up with fluid. And Jesus says in the midst of all this mocking and scourging and getting beat up and getting tormented, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Let me go on. It says, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. The other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes. This man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, and here's the second statement, I assure you today you'll be with me in paradise. And I call these words that aren't fair, because they're not. I mean, they're not. I mean, think about it. Jesus, when he says forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. He's forgiven a mob of people who are just gone nuts. I mean, they've just gone crazy. Within the last hour, they have just been saying to him, kill this guy, Jesus. Kill him, you know. He's not worth living. When they had a chance to either have Jesus released or some terrorist criminal guy released, they chose the terrorist criminal. They spit on Jesus and basically said, hey, if you are so high and mighty and if God loves you so much, do something, you impotent piece of dirt. In what world do you forgive people like that? You know, in what world do you even do that? I mean, again, I have trouble with the guy who's trying to merge on 280. You know, I have trouble with that. And yet, you know, there's Jesus. Or you take these thieves, you know, these two thieves, one here. You know, who are these guys? I mean, y'all want to say, who cares? You know, let's zero in on them for just like really, really quick. And you can kind of figure out something about them through what's going on here. They weren't there because they basically ripped off 7-Eleven of a few candy bars. You don't get hung on a cross for shoplifting a greeting card from CVS, even though they're, like, expensive, but never mind that. In fact, one of the penalties for being a thief was a scourge. It was a beating. They'd beat you a little bit. And if you're a little bit worse thief, then they'd say, okay, we're going to put you on a galley ship, you know, for a couple years. You don't crucify a normal thief. In fact, the word that's used here is not for a normal thief. Crosses were reserved for the worst, and these guys were the worst. They weren't even worth redeeming. There's no even point in these guys. I mentioned my son is a deputy sheriff, and on the internet they put up pictures of people they arrested that week. And I kind of want to see the kind of people my son deals with, and it's kind of weird, and their pictures. And I think, do we have the picture? There you go. So these are mug shots, and granted, mug shots are not going to be the best. You know, on this one, you're not going to look your glam the best. But wow, I mean, you look at people like that. And the guys on the cross were not just thieves, okay? They had a really long rap sheet of really bad stuff, and they were pretty much hopeless causes. And I don't know all they did, but I could guess. Robbery and rape and murder and kidnapping and abuse, and you could just keep going and going. These guys were just basically, we're done. I mean, we don't want to deal with these guys anymore. And so Rome crucified them. And Rome crucified scum. That's what Rome did. And Jesus is between two of those guys, and they're mocking him. And one just dumps. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffs, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." You know, heck, if you can do everything, do it. Do it. Okay, the other guy, he's kind of working it through in his head. Something's not adding up in all of this. And he says something to the other thief. He says, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die?" And basically, we got the end of our life facing us, like now. And he's basically saying to the other, you know, you should shut up. And he makes a statement about fairness and unfairness. He says, "We deserve to die for our crimes. That's fair. This man hasn't done anything wrong. And that's what? That's unfair." I mean, he gets the fair unfair thing. He gets it. He understands it. It's fair to die for your crime. It's not fair to die when you haven't done anything wrong. That's not fair. And we're not at the core of this yet. It goes on. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you today you will be with me in paradise." I want to say, wait. That's it? Really? That's it? I mean, you wasted your whole life that God gave you. Your whole life, you just wasted it. You've hurt people. You've probably ended a lot of people's lives. You destroyed lives, maybe even for a generation or two. You know, you've ruined people's economic, their stability in life, their health. And you just make a statement today, and all of a sudden, it's over? That's not fair. You make one silly statement or one great statement, as we'll look at in a second, and it's over? How unfair is that? The thief gets into heaven? Really? Really? In what kind of world does this happen? The guy has not done anything, nothing but sex and drugs and rock and roll and crime and anything for his life. He's done nothing but that. And murder and rape and torture and destroy people's lives. And Jesus just says, "Okay, today you're going to go to heaven. Okay." Is it that easy? I mean, you think, well, shouldn't somebody like that do something? You know, do something to make up for all the wrongs that they've done? Shouldn't they do something to make up for all the wrongs? Like start giving his money away, you know, to the poor, volunteer to food bank maybe, you know, start doing good so his good cancels his bad, because that's the way we think about life so much, you know. Well, number one, he can't. He's kind of like nailed to a cross, so he's not going to go anywhere to do that. Well, doesn't he need to be baptized? Or shouldn't he take communion or go to church more or read the Bible more or like volunteer in the nursery at church, you know, or something like that? You know, well, we've got the same problem here. He kind of can't. And I think what happens is a lot of times we still have in our minds, or you can have, that Jesus is like the big Santa Claus, you know, the good, bad guy. He makes a list and he checks it a couple times, you know, twice, and he finds out who's naughty and who's going to be nice. And the naughty people don't go to heaven and the nice people do. And so you better start being what? Nice. You better start doing that. Good people get to heaven, bad people don't. The problem with that is we want to say ourselves who's naughty, and we want to say ourselves who's nice. And most people say, you know, most people are not that good, but for me, generally, I'm pretty what? Good, you see, and that's the problem with this whole scale thing. And where's the line drawn? Where's the good, bad line drawn? Where is it? How good do I have to be to get in? How will I ever know? You know, how will I ever know? You know? Because what I think is good enough, a lot of times I did it to show off or to show somebody else up. And all of a sudden that good is not quite so good anymore. Or all the times I could have gone the extra mile and didn't. Or could have been nicer or helped more and didn't. And I'm just not so sure I'm as good as I think I am. You see the problem here? We got a mess. And this good bad thing doesn't work. I need a way that gets rid of it, all of it. The Bible says this: Jesus has opened up a new and living way. I love that. It's a new way, and it's a living way. And so next to that thief is Jesus, you know, right there in the middle. And something's going on there that is like the whole point of, like the whole point of everything. Because it's not about fair anymore. God takes away that, quote, fair thing, because fair, you can never figure out what's fair. It's not about fair, it's all about grace. You know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Grace is not fair. Okay? And the Bible is all about grace. And when you read the Bible, you're going to want to say, that's no fair. Somebody put simply, and you can remember this easily, what grace is. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. There's more to it than that, but it's a good way to remember it. God's riches at Christ's expense. That you get the riches of God, but somebody else paid for it. God gives me his riches, but it cost somebody else. It cost Jesus. The Bible says this: for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And what it's simply saying is this: Jesus never sinned, but in his love, he took on my sin and therefore took my punishment, so I don't have it anymore. And the end of the most popular verse in the Bible is, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's like, believe, that's it? That's it? That's all I got to do? That's way too easy. And I just want to say, what kind of a loving God would make it hard? Why would God make it hard for you to have a relationship with him? What parent does that? I'm going to make it so hard for you to have a really full life. You're going to have to work your tail off, and I'm going to make you so miserable in trying to get it that maybe I'll give it to you, but you're never going to know when I'm going to give it to you. What kind of a parent does that? And what kind of a God would do that? I mean, this thief, this guy had his whole life of bad, and he gets into heaven with just a few words, and you want to say, that's too easy. And the response is, easy for who? Well, easy for the thief. It was easy for the thief because it was so hard for Jesus. And this is what grace is all about. And this is what you can tell your friends, and this is what you could tell your neighbors, and this is what you can even tell yourself. That when I stand before God, it's not based on the good I've done, because I'm not that good. And Jesus makes these two incredible statements. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And second, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. These are words that aren't what? They're not fair. They're just not fair. But really, when I stand before God, I don't really want fair. I don't want fair, because fair gets me what I deserve, and I don't deserve very much. I don't want fair, I want grace. It's an amazing thing. God says, I'm going to take all the junk in Paul Richardson's life, all his pettiness and all his ego and his mistrust and anger and everything that was unkind, and I'm going to put them on my son Jesus, and he'll die on the cross so Paul won't have to pay. If there was any other way for me to be saved apart from Jesus on the cross, don't you think I would have done it? And what this thief did is he threw himself at grace. He threw himself at grace. He said, if I have to stand before God in just a few hours, I got no chance. So he took the only chance he had. And he said, Jesus, remember me. He made a mess of his life and wasted his life, but he knew that Jesus would save him if he asked. Remember, there were two guys next to Jesus, one on this side and one on that side. And he gave them a choice. He gave both of them a choice. Both of them heard it. And he doesn't force them to love them. And he doesn't force them to accept him. He gave them a free decision. A free decision. And the reality is this, and this is honestly true. To not decide is to decide. To not decide is to make a decision. I showed those pictures of mugshots, and you know, it was kind of fun. But not really, because it's heartbreaking. Because God's heart breaks for those people. And he longs for them to know him. And each one of those people on that screen, and Amanda Riley, who we talked about, and every person you meet, and you, they have a choice. Jesus died for each of them and said, I want to make it easy for you. In what kind of world does this happen? In this world. In a very loving world that God loves and God cares about. That's where it happens. And God loves them and God died for them and died for you too. And again, you can say all you want, that's not fair. That at the last minute he breathed his last, he got into heaven, he made it in. Not fair, he'd done nothing good to the very end. I'll take it. I'll take not fair. I'll take not fair with grace every time, every single time. And I want you to too. I'm going to ask the worship team, they're going to come on up. And maybe you noticed as you came in, there's the elements of the Lord's Supper that are around us, or communion, or the Eucharist, or whatever you want to call it. It's there. And it's not just simply a tradition and that you do, and it's not just simply a churchy thing that you do. There's meaning in the symbols, okay? There's real meaning in these symbols. the meaning in the symbols are what Jesus did for us, what God did for us. In grace and in love for us. The bread that you're going to be invited to take symbolizes that God loved the world so much. He loved you so much, that Jesus came down for you. God himself comes down, takes on flesh and blood, because it takes a perfect person to pull off what God did, and the only one perfect is going to be Jesus. He took on flesh and blood for you. And when you take it, you're saying, this I believe. This is what I believe. This is who I am. This is part of me. And the cup that you'll be invited to take is symbolic of the blood of Jesus that was poured out or shed on a cross. It symbolizes death. The wages of your wrong, or the penalty for your wrong, is death. And when you take it, you're saying, I acknowledge that. I believe that. And I love that he said, take it. I internalize that for me. That's me. This is who I am. I'm part of this. I identify with this. And the way this is going down is, I'm going to pray in a moment, and then there's going to be music playing, and as they're playing the music, you're invited to come on up and just grab it and go back to your seat. We kind of do it like a family style, you know, what we're going to take together. In a moment when we've all been served, and then we'll finish the song. But I just simply want to encourage you, if you've not made this decision, to decide. We said before, to not decide is to make a decision. To not decide is to say, I don't want this. I'm going to stand before God on my own, and I'm going to say, my good far outweighs my bad. I should probably get in. And be careful with that one, because you'll be reminded of all the stuff that you did, and it may not equal out. I'd rather take grace and not fair any day of the week. And I did, and so many of you have as well, and this is a celebration for you. But if you haven't, I'm going to ask you to pray with me, okay? In fact, everyone, do you mind just praying? And if you have, this is a prayer of thanksgiving and celebration and joy and saying thank you. Thank you. Maybe you're here right now and you're saying, it's that simple. I don't deserve this. And the answer is, no, you don't. None of us do. Well, why would God do that for me? And the answer is, because he loves you. He loves you. He made you. He loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And you don't have to know everything. You don't have to know much of anything. The thief didn't. All he knew was that Jesus saves him. Maybe your prayer this morning would be your decision to say, Jesus, save me. And Lord, I thank you that now we're going to be able to take that which is really important, so precious to us. And we remember and thank you. Amen.